you know, it was good to get out on the field. You know, obviously as a coaching staff, this is the first time we've been out on the field coaching. I think it's, you know, it's what we tried to do, so I can kind of give you a little bit of background. And what we tried to do at first is, you know, a lot of the drills that we've been doing with our players, position-specific drills of movement and things of that nature, we kind of mirrored, you know, to what we did in the morning. So in the mornings, it wasn't as much like football schematics or lining up or anything of that nature. It was more of conditioning, stretching, movement skills, you know, in and out of breaks, backpedaling, you know, just coming off the football, things of that nature. So this way now we can look at, you know, what our players have been doing and where the other players are from an evaluation standpoint. The afternoons are short. There we're just taking about, I would say, anywhere between 20 to 30% of maybe the installation, of a day installation, and trying to install it just to see if they can retain the information, go out on the field and show it without any combativeness. And that's the one thing that, you know, we've been talking to players about, you know, intelligent effort, you know, not putting yourself or anyone else in a position where, you know, someone, you know, is susceptible to, you know, to injury. So that's what we've been doing. We had, shoot, I don't even have it here. How many players we actually have out there? 64, right, total. So we had a lot of players out there, which is probably a little bit, you know, people would look at it to be a little bit high, you know, saying for a rookie minicamp. But I think what's important is, one, it helps from a standpoint of the reps, you know what I'm saying? So there's enough time in between so you can not do too much where you can put someone in a position of injury. I think the other thing probably goes back to, you know, my personal experience, you know, having been cut 5 times, you know, in the NFL from teams. I think what goes into it is a great amount of respect that I have for all the players that are on the field. You know, I've done this when I've been a head coach. I've said it every year that, and it's true to a certain extent. I understand the politics and the financial stuff that goes into it. But as a coach, you stand up in front of a team and you tell them, you know, just like I told these guys, I really don't care how you got here. You know, I really don't. I don't really care if you've been drafted. I don't care if you've been, you know, if you're a tryout person or you're a signed free agent. You know, everyone in this room has an opportunity, you know, to make a first impression, you know, to go out there and do something, to maybe create another opportunity of being on the 90. And, you know, the amount of respect that the players – that I have for the players that put in the work and do those things, you know, it'll be interesting. We're not – it's not finalized yet, but I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if we signed the tryout player. You know, I'm sure you're not going to be surprised when you ask me about the draft picks, you know, where I think they are. I think it's very difficult to project, you know, how a player did in this type of atmosphere to how he's going to do when the other players that have played come in. And I'll try to do a good job of that, you know, for everybody here. So without further ado, I think Ted will open us up for questions.
With Leonard, did he look like he was in good shape?
He was able to do the drills. The thing that I look for is, you know, how quickly he can respond to Coach Wheatley and Coach Hackett, you know, when they do the drills. In other words, picking them up, which I thought he did a nice job of. Again, I think it's very difficult for me to sit here and go, hey, they've arrived, they're here. It's hard for me to say that. Every year I've been in the same situation, whether assistant coach or head coach. You know, the players come in, they come in and report. And I think I try to keep in the back of my mind everything that's been done to this point, meaning, you know, with the draft picks, the drafts, and they got to fly around and travel around. So I think it's for me as the head coach, you know, my expectation when they come in here is, hey, I know they're going to have work left to do. So, you know, Leonard obviously does, as well as everyone that's going to be coming from this camp over into our 90. So I'm looking to see, you know, where they are and to make sure that, hey, listen, you know, where you are right now, you know, is not going to be good enough for where we want you to be. So if you're asking me, you know, did he come in better than people I've had in the past or anything like that, he came in probably how I expected him to come in.
Cam Robinson, did he take any left guard reps at all?
No. And then the plan was to keep him at left tackle. So, you know, he stayed at left tackle the whole time. And again, I do like the things that he did. I think he responded well. I think that he did really nice. I thought he moved very well. I mean, obviously for a big man, it's like with Leonard. He's a big man that moves very well too. So, a lot of times when you have the big guys, it's a little bit more when you're evaluating them. You're watching their movement skills. The bigger the player, the more physical the player is, those things will show up a little bit more when we put pads on than when you have a smaller, quicker guy and you're like, you know, with like DD, you're like, whoo, you know, you can kind of see when someone runs, you know, but it's hard to see how someone can take someone and move them or move a pile, you know, in this type of phase, I guess, that we're in, or mini camp.
What have you seen out of Cam's ability to retain knowledge and translate it from classwork to the field so far?
That's been good, and we're at a low percentage. You know, so again, you know, does he have the ability to do it? Yes. Does he have the ability to do it when it's amped up? We still don't know that. So that's one of the things that you're working on. But as long as you feel that there's a foundation, and that's what we're doing with everyone. Obviously, we've done a ton of homework on Leonard, a ton on Cam, you know, a ton on DD. You know, the draft picks we've done a ton of homework on. So we kind of knew what we were getting ourselves when they came here. But as far as the other players, that's what we're trying to do, make sure that there's a foundation where they can just switch it over and have the ability to pick things up. People that don't come from, you know, maybe different types of schemes or different types of programs or small schools or things of that nature. So, you know, we go through and we evaluate that. And that's in the afternoon. Like I said, in the afternoon we're only out there like, you know, probably from a standpoint of practice and scheme, probably like, you know, 20, 30 minutes. It's nothing quick. We're out there for about an hour total, but, you know, an hour, I think 82 minutes to be exact.
How do you envision early thoughts on how much work Leonard will get, you know, in terms of, you know, is he going to be 70% of touches by the running backs? Do you have a guess on that? Have you made any plans on that?
That's a great question. You know, one that if I was sitting there, I'd be saying, okay, hey, you took this guy, where he is. You have to have a thing in your mind right now. You know, obviously when we made the pick, we're thinking about he can be someone like that. You know, obviously he's shown that ability. But at the same sense, when you have the team, you know, you have to – the one thing about a team is you have to earn that, you know. So he's going to have to go and show that he has to do that. So I don't think it's going to be a situation where a la a great player that I've been involved with, Curtis Martin. You know, for Curtis in the preseason, you know, we'd ask Curtis, how many reps you need at, you know, to be ready? Coach, I, you know, 6 to 12 carries in the preseason. You know, that's not the case. So I'm trying, you know, for where we are now. So, you know, I don't know that answer right now to the exact percentage of it, but obviously it's someone that, you know, we're looking for. And that was our goal offensively, you know. Our goal as an organization, to have someone back there that we can do that with. So that's what we're working and striving for. You know, whether we get there or not, a lot of that's going to be what the player earns.
Coach, what did you feel about his ability to retain terminology? Did you work
with him? How did I feel good?
I do. I really do. I think he's very, there's a confidence about him, but it's not cockiness. I think that in his background, when you look and you study what's gone on at LSU, you know, early on in his career, it was a pro-style offense, you know, and then obviously they had changed coordinators. But, you know, what I was impressed at is that, you know, through that whole process of getting to know him and interviewing and then, you know, then trying to make sure of, to answer those types of questions, I was surprised how he was able to, you know, retain what he had learned 2 years ago, you know, to come back with that. So I thought that was impressive, and for him to be able to verbalize that and verbalize how he was taught and verbalize what his responsibilities were, that put more of an ease, I guess, to that question of, hey, how's what he's done the last year translate to what maybe you're going to ask him to do?
What about his pass catching? He worked on pass catching out of the backfield, screen passes.
I thought, you know, again, it's difficult. You never know what the other coaches have in mind. You know, obviously in this league, you got to be able to do a lot of things to be successful. I thought at LSU when he was there, when they did give him the ball, you know, and they were just running, you know, basically a swing route or just getting him out of the backfield and hitting him and getting him the ball in space, where I thought he was very productive, but you didn't really see a lot of other things. So, you know, in camp, you know, we were throwing the football to him, and I thought he caught the ball very well. Now, I visualized him catching it well because I was able to watch the LSU tape and see what he did there. I think now we're at a point of, okay, we feel good. Now, what else can he give in that game, just like we do with DD in the certain routes that he's run very well? You know, what is their true capacity to what they can do, knowing the more they can do and do it well, the more it's going to help us, our football team, win.
Westbrook played very little slot overall.
Right.
How big of a transition is that if you move him in wrong?
Well, I think right now the way we're teaching him is we're going to teach him outside first. So that's the way we're going to start it. You know, we're going to put him on the outside first, because, you know, he only played on the one side. You know, so he's played on one side. So that there's a lot more learning, you know, to what Westbrook has to go through than a lot of, you know, maybe the other players that are here in part of the 90. So, you know, now we're getting him used to just playing both outside spots. Let's see where that goes first and then see what to do. I think early on, my philosophy has always been you have to be very careful with young players because you want to build a foundation for them where they're able to contribute for you. I think that if you take a young player and you try to dual train them or teach them two positions, or, you know, you think in the long run that you're going to be able to help that player get on the field faster, maybe because you don't feel comfortable about those two positions. But early on in his career, he's never really going to play either of them well enough for you to really feel good about putting him out there. I'd rather make a decision of where to put him, get the foundation, see how he picks that up, and then once he's good at that, then really start moving him. Hypothetical. Go ahead. Throw it hypothetical out.
When camp starts or OTA starts, do you think you'll give him a taste of slot inside?
Yeah, I think a lot of it depends on how the OTAs go. You know what I'm saying? So,
comfort level outside.
Yeah, absolutely. In other words, okay, can he play out there? Well, there's a couple of things that go on offensively that you have to think about. Like when I'm just going to try to give you an insight to how I look at receivers. Okay, all right, let's take slot out of it for a minute. Okay. A, is he better on the ball, like our split end receiver, or is he better off the football? Right? Speed comes into it. Sometimes guys don't get pressed because they have so much speed. Maybe the defenders are nervous, but no one's nervous of a rookie, okay? All right? But if he can get off press coverage and someone's going to, you know, press him up, that's great. That helps. That's good. You got to be strong. You have to have good technique to get off it. If he's not that good at press coverage, then maybe you play him to the tight end side where he's off the ball. So now there's a little bit more room where he can use that speed and go, okay? Normally what people say is, well, he's not really good in press. Let's put him in a slot. But you're going to put him on a slot off the football, and that's why a lot of people will see receivers that aren't very good at press will take him and put him off to, you know, to slot. But offensively, what you see is people that aren't good off the press, we wind up stacking them or putting them in motion because a lot of times, obviously, you can't press that. So in my mind, I look at it that way. What's the best one? What's the one? Well, the one that can play on the ball that has speed and can beat guys, well, he can pretty much play anywhere. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of what you're looking for, you know, in the ultimate receiver, a guy that can play three spots and play that. But if you can't play on the ball, you know, and get off press coverage, you definitely can't play X, you know, which is a split end side receiver. So that's kind of how I think of it.
You've got over 60.
Those answers are long. Do you guys mind long answers like
no.
that?
Like, longer the better.
Yeah.
Longer the better.
Okay, I'm just trying to make, you know, because sometimes, you know, guys in the back are like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they already got it figured out already. And I'm not trying to talk down. Let me tell you something. Don't ever think, I hope, you know, don't ever think like, I'm just trying to really explain it so you guys can kind of say like, you know, hey, that's the way coach thinks. Well, that's screwed up. I wouldn't think like that. Or, you know, or, yeah, maybe that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? So I just want to make sure.
You've got 60-plus players here. What can somebody do with limited practices to make the get signed as a workout player? And then what can a player that's currently signed do to kind of play their way off the roster?
Yeah, I tell the players, you know, when I'm looking at the 90, okay, so in my mind, when I see 90, the number 90, which is what we can go to camp with, you know, I want to feel good at going into camp with 90 players that have the ability to help our football team win in some capacity, special teams, offense, defense, whatever it may be, okay? I think at this point, like I always told the players, hey, no one is going to make the 53 right now today, but you can get cut today. if you don't do what we tell you to do. And that's the kind of thing about that intelligence, playing right, playing smart. You know, like, you know, if we start, like, we didn't really do anything here, but when we start OTAs and I got someone that's on the ground all the time, potentially, you know, where it can injure someone, well, that player is going to be gone. I'm getting that player out of here because he's going to hurt the team. Now, is that same player that's doing everything right and doing that stuff, is he going to make the team? No, because we're in pajamas, you know, and until we get into full pads, I can't tell you really, you know, who can play football and who can't. You know, a long time ago, I was part of a staff, and we made a mistake, and I was part of that mistake. We had a player that we came in, we signed somebody, he came into camp, and he was unbelievable now. I'm talking about with pajamas on. We were like, oh, we got to take a step back. We got to look at what we're doing offensively. You know, and we actually changed some of the things that we were doing from a script standpoint for our training camp. So we changed some of the things that we're doing in training camp to feature this player more so, because in training camp, I mean, in the OTAs, he looked great. We go into training camp about the second or third day that we're in pads. He comes over the middle, bam, gets hit. Okay? He would not. That's it. No mas. He didn't want any more of that. And I remember thinking after we were done, we were like, gosh, we did all this. Hey, you know what? Let's set a plan. Let's do it. And let's wait till we start playing before we start adjusting it. So I think you got to be careful of that.
Has there been any contact with you and Brandon Albert?
No, still. None.
Does that get frustrating more by the week, or are you just not expect it now?
Probably don't expect it now, you know. But I'm not, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and lie. I mean, you know, it would be like if I called you, okay? Let's say it's the summer, and you cover the team, and I called you up, and you didn't return my call. You know, and then now, you know, it's getting close to training camp. You're thinking, what's going on? I think what hurts me a little bit, or maybe, it actually hurts more than it does, like, mad, is that, you know, I just want to know. So when you ask me a question, I can answer it. Or, you know, Dave Caldwell asked me a question. I can answer them. You know, I can't. You know, they asked me to say, hey, have you talked? I go, I don't know. Is he going to come? I don't know. Is he going to play? I don't know. I mean, that I think is the more frustrating thing. I've been in these situations a lot where players, you know, I've had a player on a tag. I've had a player on a couple things. Hey, coach, look, I'm on a tag. I'm not signing a tag. I'm not going to come for anything. But hey, I'm going to be working out. I'm going to be training. Hey, I get it. That's the business side of it. I'm good. You know, you just want to know where everyone's at, you know, and that's all I was expecting. Because I can't tell you what's true or what's not true, and I can't speak for Brandon. I can only tell you that I have not talked to him.
But as an offensive lineman, a position that needs to have chemistry with the line, how important is it to have this extra time to build that?
First of all, I would answer that question. Every position needs that, and every team needs that as a whole team. I don't think one position is more important than the other when it comes down to that, to specific of the question. But I think, you know, it's team chemistry is developed through a period of time. I don't think it's something that, you know, it just flips the switch or not. Like right now for our football team, that's not our concentration right now. Not to say that you're wrong. I'm just saying for me as the coach, that's not my concentration of hey, I want to build this team. I want to figure out who the best players are right now. You know what I'm saying? And then build that team chemistry. But I'm not naive enough to know that's not happening, or that's not part of it at this stage. So I kind of go back and forth on that one. I can't really pinpoint that. Is it important? It's always important. Is it the most important thing? Not for me right now, but I can't speak for others.
Doug, are you concerned that Brandon just simply doesn't want to ever come here?
I think of everything. You know, I'm one of those guys that go, okay, could it be this? Okay. Could it be that? Could it be that? So I go down that list of things. So that's why I don't know. So, like, what I don't want to be quoted as saying is you ask the question and I say yes, and you say, hey, Coach Doug Marone, you know, thinks that he's – everything's possible. Anything's possible. I can't speak for him, so I don't know what to say.
I feel like Tad being up here, you asking him about questions. I feel like, I don't know, you know.
Hey, one more on Fournette, primarily a pro style. Is he work single back, shotgun, next to a quarterback?
Yeah, we worked everything. We worked under center. We worked two back. You know, we had fullbacks in, obviously. We worked single back, you know. So we worked it all.
Bob, Daniels, how has he looked throwing it the last week or so when he's been out there?
I think improved. There's no doubt about it. I mean, is it where, you know, as far as I think there's certain things that I think when you guys are able to go see there with as far as his elbow and his arm, he's done it. It's much improved, you know, and I think there's still other things that we're still working on along with everyone else at this stage. So we're trying to build it up so that when we get into the OTAs, it's like anything else. You know, we're going to, you know, he will, as anyone else, will benefit more. You know, if we're throwing 100 footballs to 150, if we throw 150, he'll be better. If we throw 200, he'll be better. If we throw 250, he'll be better. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, what we're doing now is trying to build him up and build the arm, you know, strength and all the other things along with all of our quarterbacks to get there. So the more he throws, the better it'll be.
Will that be higher reps than the last couple of years?
We're going to have probably in a full cycle for a full year. It'll probably be it's close to I want to say 1025 or 980. Those are the two numbers that are going through my mind right now. That when we looked at it and self-scouted, more throws in a full cycle. So to answer your question, in all the phases is more. Yes.
Is it important to bring in a fourth arm heading into training camp just so you can kind of spread?
We've been talking about that. That's been a discussion that Coach Coughlin and Dave and I that I've had. You know, we kind of, you know, we've been going back and forth. It's got to be worthy of it. I think it's tough. I think, you know, my I can't speak for Coach Coughlin and Dave, but my take on it was I think when you had two practices a day and you didn't have days off, absolutely. You know, I think you needed a fourth one in. I think that, you know, we're going to go back and look at it and just keep talking about it, you know, to see what that is. I think when you have a day off every 7 days and you're only practicing once a day, you know, I don't know if that's as high of a standard of a need rather than, but if you have someone that you think has potential, I would always be like in favor of, like, yeah, you need to keep as many as you can if you think they can play.
Did any of the other than the top three picks caught your eye out of the draft picks in this mini camp kind of caught your eye? Something above someone else?
I mean, I think everyone, I don't look at it as catch my eye in a positive way. If they catch my eye in a negative way, which they haven't. Does that make sense? In other words, so I'm looking to say, okay, hey, we took this guy, we signed this person, you're in your mind, you're thinking, okay, this is what I'm going to see, you know, when I get out there, knowing, having done this for many years, you know, what to expect of them. But what I'm looking for is the other stuff, the red flag stuff. So I did not see any of that with the guys that we've drafted.